instructing us in order that rejecting ungodliness and worldly lusts, we may live temperately and justly and piously in this world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and cleanse for himself an acceptable people, pursuing good works, thus speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. At that time, there went forth a decree from Caesar Augustus that a census of the whole world should be taken. This first census took place while Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all were going each to his own town to register. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the town of Nazareth into Judea, to the town of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to register together with Mary, his espoused wife, who was with child. And it came to pass while they were there that the days for her to be delivered were fulfilled. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were shepherds in the same district living in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of God shone round about them, and they feared exceedingly. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For there has been born to you today in the town of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to men of goodwill." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. So, dear friends in Christ, on behalf of His Excellency the Bishop, the Congregation of Mary Immaculate Queen, and myself, I'd like to wish you all a very blessed and a very happy Christmas as we celebrate this beautiful feast of the birth of Christ. And it's interesting that as we reflect upon the beautiful circumstances around the birth of our Divine Lord in the stable at Bethlehem, we remind ourselves that our Lord has given to us some very beautiful lessons to learn and for us to take home with us as we leave church and as we leave Mass this Christmas morning. And one of the things that came to my mind this evening as I was here in church, praying my office here this evening, there was something that caught my attention. And there was some persistent knocking that came from one of the windows over here, the second window, and just some persistent tapping on the window. And I looked over, I saw that there was a group of birds there flying around by the window and like I said, tapping on it. And it's interesting because this brought up to my mind a story that I had heard when I was young, and that just happened to that the birds today, this evening, had reminded me of. And that story was of a family who was getting ready for midnight Mass. The mother was going about getting the children ready, when the mother of the family realized and saw that her husband was not getting ready. He was just sitting in his chair and reading a book, and he was not getting ready for Mass. And the wife asked her husband, "Well, honey, aren't you going to get ready for Mass? Aren't you? What's going on?" And the father said, "Well, I'm not going to go with you guys to midnight Mass tonight. I've been wondering how to tell you this, but there's no beating around the bush. I don't believe anymore. I don't have faith, and I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be one of those that go to church and yet don't live up to the faith and don't live up to the teachings of the faith. So I'm just made my decision. I'm not going to go to church." And the mother was pretty distraught. She was a little bit upset, and as well the children, they were begging their dad, "Please, Daddy, come to Mass with us." And the dad said, "No, I've made up my mind. I'm not going to go to Mass with you guys." So the mother, she finished the preparation, getting her kids ready, and they got into the car and went down the road to the church for midnight mass. And as the father was there, sitting in his recliner, reading his book, he heard a tapping similar to the tapping that I heard earlier this evening. Some tapping on his window. It was pretty persistent. And so he got up and went to the window to see what was going on. Lo and behold, he saw a flock of birds that were huddled, were around the window, and looked like they were trying to get in. And the man walked outside to take a look, and it was starting to snow pretty heavily, and it was a pretty bitter, cold winter night for December, obviously. And the man saw that they were trying to go into the house, and he said, well, there's no way I'm going to let him inside the house. But he had a barn next to the house, and he said, hey, it'd be nice and warm in there. So he opened the doors of the barn, and he started trying to coax the birds in, saying, you know, he started whistling, hey, whistling and trying to coax them, come over here. And they still kept huddling around the window. Man thought, okay, well, let me go get some bread. And he got some bread, and he tried to make a trail into the barn. But yet, the birds were not following the trail. So he kept thinking, He was getting a little bit frustrated by this time, saying, okay, how can I get these birds to realize that I'm trying to help them, trying to lead them into a place where it'll be nice and warm, where they can take shelter? And he was getting a little flustered. He's saying, what can I do? And as he realized that he tried to continue coaxing, he continued trying to put more bread, trying to lead them, but nothing would work. And then he finally realized, well, maybe, you know, if I were one of them, I would be able to show them, be able to lead them into the barn, to show them that I'm trying to help them, that there's a safe place there, that they can take shelter. And as that thought entered the man's mind, he heard the church bells start to ring, announcing the start of the midnight mass. And that thought and the ringing of the bells struck the man very suddenly, because he realized, whoa, this is exactly what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done. He has taken on human flesh. He has taken on the form of one of us and become a baby so as to show us how to get to heaven, to show us to safety, to show us to that harbor, to that port, that where we'll be safe and we'll be warm and we'll be out of the cold, so to say. And that thought really struck the man, and he knelt down in the snow right then and there, and he adored God and realized, and he made an act of faith and realized, Lord, this is exactly what you have done. You have become one of us to show us how to save our souls, to show us how to live our lives. And he made that act of faith, and that faith that man had lost came back to him once again. And that something so very simple as those birds made that impression upon this man, and obviously the thought of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done. And as we reflect upon this story, and reflect upon the greeting of the angel to the shepherds in the field, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men of goodwill. And this is something that in our modern day, the world has changed. It's no longer where we read it, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men of goodwill, but it's peace and goodwill to men. So they've changed the sense, and they have changed the meaning of the greeting that the angel has given to the shepherds. And it's not peace and goodwill to men, but it's peace to men of goodwill. And so it is that if we are trying to be men of goodwill, if we are striving to do our very best to serve God, to live our faith, to love God with all of our hearts, mind, with all of our mind, heart, body, and soul, to live according to His commandments, to live according to the faith, we are men of goodwill, and we're going to receive that peace which the angel gave to the men who wished upon the men, the shepherds in the fields, as they were given the tidings of great joy, the birth of Christ our Lord. And as we receive these tidings, as we commemorate this beautiful feast of Christmas, to commemorate the birth of Christ our Lord, our Savior and Redeemer, let us be men of goodwill. And if we are truly being men of goodwill, we're going to receive that peace of mind, heart, body, and soul, knowing that this is definitely something that the world cannot give us. It's definitely something that we will not find in the distractions and the hustle and bustle and the materialism of the world, but it's only going to be found in Christ our Lord, in that peace which will be given to those who are being men of goodwill. So let us, on this Christmas morning, strive to remind ourselves, let us be men of goodwill. Let us strive after God. Let us strive to live the commandments. Our Lord tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. And this whole theme of love is something that is very prominent in the Gospels, that's very prominent in the preaching of Christ. You know, God so loved the world as to give us his only begotten Son. The Lord tells us, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. So this love, this charity, is something that is going to distinguish us from the world about us. And as we reflect upon this particular virtue, this love, we reflect the great love that God has for us, giving us his only begotten Son, and remembering that loving God means, obviously, this practicing this virtue of charity. And charity, love of God, love of our neighbor as ourselves for the love of God. So let us reflect upon these things. There are so many lessons for us to learn as we reflect and meditate upon the circumstances surrounding the birth of Christ, how he was born in very poor circumstances. He was born in a stable amongst animals in very dire situation. And in the eyes of the world, something that would be, you would consider everything went just wrong. And we've spoken about this before, but where Caesar Augustus called the census at just the wrong time. They had to go to Bethlehem at just the wrong time, and there was obviously things that were going wrong. They were not, quote-unquote, in the eyes of men. There was no room for them in the inn. They were turned away, and they were, like I said, they had to go to a stable, and just how everything went, quote-unquote, just the wrong way. But God, that's not how God saw it. And obviously God planned this from all eternity to show us and to give us that lesson of how to live our lives. And just like those birds, that man thought, if I can only become like one of them and I can show them to safety, our Lord, in his wonderful goodness and love for us, thought about that and he said, if I can only become one like one of them, I can show them how to get to safety. I can show them how to get to heaven. And he has done precisely that. He has become one of us. He has become a little babe. Very well could have come into this world as a full-grown man, but no, he did not do that. He became, like I said, a helpless, poor little child to show us those great virtues that we need to practice in our own life if we wish to make it to heaven, because he has given us that example of how to live our own lives. So let us strive to meditate upon that and to strive to be men of goodwill and to remember the great love that God has for each and every one of us and to return that love by living the commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And like I said, practice that virtue of charity. So on this Christmas morning, I wanted to wish you once again, each and every one of you, a very blessed and a very Merry Christmas. And let us do our best to keep on the right track, to keep up our spiritual lives, our relationship with Christ, and to remember that a feast like this should be a great motivation, should be a great inspiration to us, and should be something that compels us to continue forward, making progress in the spiritual life, remembering that what we need to accomplish in this world is our sanctification, is our salvation. As we mentioned, God has put us in this world to know him, to love him, and to serve him, so as to be happy with him in the next. So that is our goal, that is our purpose, and that is precisely what Christ has come into this world to show us how to know God, how to love him, and how to serve him, so as to be happy with him in the next. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.